you're scrolling through Airbnb or VRBO and you see one of our houses, you're going to stop and you're going to click on it. And that drastically improves the chances of that home to be successful and drive more revenue. And so, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Welcome to Behind the Stays, a podcast that shares the stories behind your favorite Airbnbs, boutique hotels, and hospitality brands, and the hosts, operators, and entrepreneurs who have brought them to life. Every Tuesday and Friday, you'll meet the military veterans, the retired flight attendants, tech entrepreneurs, the school teachers, the single moms, and the real estate investors who are all, in their own unique ways, shaping the future of travel and hospitality. Discover how these visionaries from all over the world have built chic cabins in the mountains, designed bohemian bungalows on the beach, erected eclectic off-grid and nature-immersed escapes, and so much more. Behind the Stays is brought to you by Spontaneous, the internet's best destination for last-minute Airbnb deals. You can subscribe for free at spontaneous.com. And I'm your host, Zach Buzicruz, co-founder and CEO of Spontaneous. All right, friends, enjoy the show. One of the coolest things about hosting this podcast is getting to connect with incredible entrepreneurs building really exciting startups in hospitality. And friends, today I get to introduce y'all to one of the companies in the space that I am most excited about. So if you haven't heard about Pasha Outdoors, it is time that you did. Pasha Outdoors is a new glamping startup that gives you Instagram-worthy units at no upfront costs. Sounds like totally crazy, right? But it's not. And let me tell you why. So Pasha Outdoors supplies owners of iconic properties and stunning land with high-end glamping accommodations and back-end support at no upfront cost to the landowner. And the way that they make their money is through an attractive revenue share model once your unit is ready for hosting. Guys, you just have to check out these units, by the way. They're like totally cool, super unique. I've never seen anything in North America like these before. And I've seen a lot of these and there's a lot of really cool, great examples of them, but these ones are really rad. So be sure to check out the link in the show notes to go check out the units. Now, here's where things get really, really, really exciting. So Pasha Outdoors is doing something really revolutionary. They're making it easy for you to invest in luxury glamping as an entire asset class, right? Rather than just an individual glamping resort. So you can go and invest in some individual projects. You could go and build your own glamping resort, right? Or you could invest in something like Pasha Outdoors, which enables you to benefit from the entire movement that is glamping. As a Behind the Stays listener, you can become an early investor in this company for as little as $100. Glamping is having a big moment right now, and all of the data suggests that things are just going to boom from here. The average luxury glamping unit generates 3 to 5x the revenue per night that an average Airbnb does. I mean, just look at what folks like Isaac French from Live Oak Lake and Ben Wolf from Monera have been able to do if you need some assurance that luxury glamping is the future of travel. You can learn more about Posh and all of the deets surrounding this early investment opportunity by visiting Posh, that's P-O-S-H dot dealpage.io. Or you can send an email directly to my good buddy Nick from Posh Outdoors at nick@posh-outdoors.com. And if it's too hard to remember, just scroll down to the show notes and see all of the important links there. You can learn more about Posh and all the deets surrounding this really cool early investment opportunity by visiting posh.dealpage.io. And if you do invest, be sure to just tell the guys that Zach from Behind the Stays sent you their way. Guys, this is really, really, really cool. I can't wait to see some of these projects come to life. I think that we're going to see lots more of these pop up, but to get in early, to get in now is a huge opportunity. So again, head on over to posh.dealpage.io or just scroll down to the show notes for all of the links. All right, guys, enjoy this episode. In just a moment, you'll meet Mark Lumpkin from STR Cribs, the leading one-stop shop for renovating, designing, and fully furnishing a short-term rental. Mark is an innovative entrepreneur who has worked on nearly 600 renovations, transforming run-of-the-mill homes into bespoke, scroll-stopping stays. In this conversation, Mark and I discuss how thematic short-term rentals can be a great way to compete against unique stays when your STR is a condo or a single-family home, why more hospitality entrepreneurs should create experiential stays for families and not just couples, the most impactful and least impactful renovations you can do when getting your home ready for Airbnb, the most underrated markets for thematic stays, hot takes on AI and the role it should and shouldn't play in hospitality, and loads more. All right, friends, without further ado, get ready to meet Mark. Alrighty, Mark, we are live. Good sir, you are joining me today from Panama City. How are you doing, man? How's the weather down there?
Hey, man, it's sunny and beautiful in the free state of Florida. Love being here, and we'll definitely have to get you down here one of these days. We've got the best beaches in the world.
Well, that's what everyone says, but hey, fun fact, I'm from Hawaii originally. I was born and raised in Kailua on the island of Oahu, and so I don't know. I could punch back saying we've got some of the best beaches in the world. But funny enough, because I'm from Hawaii, I never spent time in Florida. Like I go to Orlando for like conferences, right? And then I've been to Tampa like twice. But like I don't think I've actually ever been to the beach in Florida. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's kind of like being from a mountain town and then never wanting to go skiing again. You were born on beautiful beaches and so it doesn't do it for you anymore. But
they're so crowded and I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like I've been to the beach before. I know what like the best looks like. Like I'm sure it's at least, you know, comparable. Is it better though? I don't know.
Well, you definitely have the experience and the know-how to judge it. So you have to come up here. It's a little different than like Miami or Tampa, where, you know, Panama City and Destin are busy, but you can get to like Navarre Beach or there's some outlying areas that are really just as beautiful and not as crowded.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I love it down here, but you're right. I don't know if we've got you, you know, wiped off the map with the beaches in Hawaii, because they're pretty beautiful too.
Well, dude, I appreciate you taking time to hop on the pod and talk to me. We've connected on LinkedIn. We've gone back and forth a few times on some posts, and there's so many different things like I want to talk about, but I didn't really understand what STR Cribs was until like literally right before we hit record here. But I'm very familiar with your work because I know the folks over at TechVestor really well, and we've done a couple projects with them. And my understanding is like you guys are like a one-stop shop for people that want to renovate, design, and I think also like furnish short-term rentals. Can you just give us like the quick little skinny on like what STR Cribs is, and then we'll dive into like all the fun, more interesting questions.
Yeah, for sure, man. We like to think of ourselves as really the only general contractors in the short-term rental industry. And so everything that you need to do to take a property from where it currently sits to where it needs to be a top performing guest ready home, we'll handle all of that for you. And so that could be heavy renovations, roof replacements, kitchen remodels. It could just be artwork, furniture, decor. Maybe you're adding amenities. I call it the amenities arms race, right? The short-term rental industry has drastically changed over the last couple of years. And what used to work in short-term rentals, where it was just like an air mattress and a hot plate, it just doesn't work anymore. And so guests are really looking for heightened experiences. And we help put together those top 1% properties in every market. And so that's what we do. We're your one-stop shop to take you from where you are today to where you need to be in order to have a really top performing short-term rental.
One of the things I really wanted to get your thoughts on are these like thematic stays. So one of the, for folks who aren't familiar with like TechVestor, this is how I think of them. I don't exactly know how they would categorize themselves. Maybe they'd hate this positioning, but hopefully they won't. I think of them as like, they take sort of very like run of the mill single family homes, and then they turn them into like experiential stays. This is like their goal. And the primary way that they do that is like, they'll do like a themed house, like a Barbie house, right? Or like a, like the ultimate like bachelor, like pad, like getaway house kind of thing. So they take these concepts and then they take these, you know, 3, 4, 5 bedroom homes and they paint the heck out of them. They add like pickleball courts to them. They add pools to them if they don't have pools, things like that, right? So, and I know that you guys work very closely with TechVestor. One of my big questions are like, do these thematic houses, like, do they actually make a difference? So when you look at a market like Scottsdale, right, which TechVestor has a big presence in, like, do you, like, when you guys think about the work that you've done, is there like a measurable difference between a house that has been, you know, for lack of a better term, like pimped out versus like a single family home that is maybe a little bit more of like a run of the mill STR? And if so, like how different do they actually perform?
Yeah, that question can be a little complicated to answer because it's not black and white. There's a lot of gray area. Yeah. However, the difference can be dramatic. And what I mean by dramatic is you could potentially double revenue. And so we've seen properties that have gone all out and they have all the amenities and they're heavily themed that are in the exact same market as another property that, like you said, is run of the mill. And I've seen those homes do double revenue. I've seen properties do 225, 250 in markets where the standard is 80 or 90 for a home similar in size. And so that return on investment is massive. You've got to do it strategic. You've got to differentiate yourself and do something different. And then there's a lot of other X factors, right? You've got to be great at property management. You've got to do well at marketing. There's a lot of other things involved, but I feel like the homes we set up that, like you said, are heavily themed or have really over the top designs and are just different. They stop the scroll. You're scrolling through Airbnb or VRBO and you see one of our houses, you're going to stop and you're going to click on it. And that drastically improves the chances of that home to be successful and drive more revenue. And so, yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. One of my questions is, and I think you guys have worked on like nearly like 600 renovations, right, to get these homes ready for Airbnb, ready for Vrbo, ready to be rented. What are sort of those like factors from your learnings thus far that really make the difference? Meaning, is it really about having this crazy, you know, mural that is location specific? Like, is it the pickleball court? You know, is it really just having really nice beds? Like, are there any things that you guys have realized from a reno perspective that like, these are the things that statistically speaking, when we look out over our, you know, portfolio of 600 homes, even though they're different markets, et cetera, you know, these two, three things really matter. And then what are some of the things that like don't matter as much as people might expect or think that they do?
Yeah, it's a great question. To keep it narrow and not shoot too broad here, there's a handful of things that I think make a big difference. One is obviously the occupancy. And so if you can maximize occupancy by maybe taking like a garage and turning it into a kid's room with a game room attached to it, you add four people to that occupancy count. Or maybe doing like some really cool custom built-in bunk beds in a room that might have only slept two people, but now sleeps four people. And so what we can do to increase occupancy really helps, making sure that they're comfortable. The things that people see and are hard to measure are the facelift things. So like painting cabinets or a fresh coat of paint on the walls or a mural, those things might be hard to necessarily track a direct correlation to ROI, but they really make the home look much nicer, newer, fresher, and at a relatively small cost, right? To paint your kitchen cabinets versus redoing an entire kitchen remodel is a fraction of the price. Yeah. And so those are a couple things that I've seen have a really big impact on overall revenue and the performance of the home. And then some things that people don't really think about that don't make a difference are like maybe bathroom remodels. When you look at a home and you're going to go live in it, like me and my wife looked at a house last night and we're like, obviously we've got to remodel this bathroom and we've got to fix up the laundry room and we've got to do some things to make us comfortable. Well, when you're a guest on vacation, those things probably don't matter to you. If your bathroom is clean and functional, it's buried at the end of your photos, right? It's photo number 51, 52, 53. No one's booking your house because they love the way the bathroom looks. They're going to go in there and brush their teeth and shower. That's the end of it, right? And so being strategic in where you spend your money in the property can make a big difference in the outcome. And that's definitely something that we try to maximize for investors. Like, hey, don't spend 10 grand on a bathroom remodel. Spend 10 grand to get a hot tub and a mini putt course in the backyard because that's going to generate ROI and more bookings. And that bathroom remodel is not going to do anything for you.
Yeah. What I love about that is that kind of practical advice, especially for people who don't have like massive budgets. And maybe you're just getting started, right? Like maybe you've built a couple of A lot of the folks that listen to this podcast are a little bit more focused on unique stays and experiential hospitality and like building really like one of a kind experiences. And, you know, these folks, just like everybody else, have budgets, right? And knowing, especially if you're trying to transform maybe a run of the mill cabin into a little bit more of an experiential, kind of unique, bespoke stay, knowing that, hey, from the data that you guys have, from the 600 plus remodels that you've done, you could save some cash on the bathroom and invest that elsewhere is super, super valuable insight. One of the things that I have been very curious about with folks like, you know, that do the work that you do is, what are some of the like amenity? Like, I feel like there's been this movement in the short-term rental space to just pack zillions of amenities into every space, right? And it's like, who can have the cooler pool table or like the sexiest hot tub and like the, oh my gosh, like everybody needs a pickleball court, right? People can kind of get like drunk on like amenity packing. From your guys' perspective and looking at the performance of the homes that you've worked on, that you've helped renovate, is there any like hot takes you have on like amenities that like aren't actually worth it, or an amenity that people spend way too much money on and it might be worth it, but they could probably get away without it? And if so, like, what are those amenities?
Yeah, Zach, I lost you there for just a second, but I totally agree. There are some things that you can do that you can be strategic with when it comes to amenities. It's not necessarily just who can get the most amenities into a house and squeeze the most into the backyard. You want to look at your market, and then you want to look at your avatar of who is the guest that's going to come stay at your property and really tailor your amenities package to them. And so when I talk about markets, like if you're in Florida, where I live in Florida, and it's 100 degrees and it's 90% humidity, I'm not that excited about sitting in a hot tub when I'm on vacation at a Florida house, right?
Yeah.
But if I go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, man, a hot tub is going to be really, really a nice amenity. And that's going to be something I look for. And so that is what I'm talking about when I'm saying be market specific, because there are certain markets that certain amenities make more sense in and others that they don't. And then really be strategic about the guest that you're trying to attract and what they would want to do in order to have fun and be comfortable at your place. And so if you're targeting families and larger groups traveling together, maybe that game room in the garage is a really, really good idea and is the best use of that garage space. If you have a property that is two blocks away from four golf courses in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you're thinking that your ideal guest is going to be groups of guys coming in to travel, well, maybe that garage space should be like a driving range or something that, you know, that the 3D driving simulator. And so that's just a good example of being strategic, thinking about who's coming to your house, why they're coming to your house, and then tailoring your amenities towards them.
Yeah. One of the things that we have seen a lot is you talk about markets like Gatlinburg or markets like Scottsdale, where there are a lot of these, you know, single family homes that sort of have been turned into these more thematic experiences. Scottsdale makes a lot of sense. Like, it's a highly trafficked market, right? There's a lot of the same kind of inventory. You know, Taylor Jones from TechVestor talks a lot about, hey, if you're looking for a four bed, three bath house in Scottsdale, and there's one that's, you know, Barbie themed and one that's not, and you're going on a girls trip, you're going to pick the one that's like Barbie themed, right? What are other markets that you think this type of approach could work in that you don't see enough people kind of, you know, building in or renovating in? Like, are there markets that you think are missed opportunities for folks to kind of take this approach that you're talking about and apply it to, you know, secondary or tertiary markets? And if so, what are those markets?
Yeah, I don't know about the really heavily themed homes in the secondary markets, like the Barbie homes and those, you know, the really, really heavy, the Frozen themed house makes sense in Orlando, right? And it might not make sense in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And just because you have a Frozen house in Jackson Hole, Wyoming does not mean you're going to do well. However, what I think can be really, really powerful for these secondary markets is attracting families. And I think I was looking at some travel statistics just the other day, and it was something like, I don't know, 55 or 60% of people traveling last year traveled with children. And then when I look at most of the houses in most of these markets, they're not tailored towards kids, but a majority of people are traveling to short-term rentals with kids. And I would say you know, at least for me, if I'm traveling on my own or just with my wife, a hotel, a bed and breakfast, we have so many other options than a short-term rental. But when we're traveling with our kids and our dog, there's no other option. It's Airbnb or VRBO. That's all I've got to choose from. And I'm obviously going to choose a house 10 out of 10 times that has some amenities for the kids, has a fun kid playroom, has built-in bunk beds. That's always going to be picked over another house, even if it's more expensive, even if it's substantially more expensive. I don't really care. As long as my kids are happy and out of my hair, I'm willing to spend more money on that place. And I think most parents will feel the same way. And so my encouragement just to the industry and to investors as a whole is if you're in a secondary market, really think about those families and groups that are traveling together and how you can snatch them before they book another house in your market.
Yeah. I think that that's incredible advice, because one of the things that, you know, I see a lot in these secondary and tertiary markets are when there is like a very like well-designed home or a very like luxury home, it's almost you look at it and you're like, oh, this is a place I'd want to go with my wife, but like, I'm not bringing my freaking 2-year-old here because he's going to freaking destroy everything, right? Even though it's like beautiful and like a wonderful aesthetic, right? Whereas I think that there are a few people in this space. Actually, Taylor Bates, who has been on the podcast before, she designed this remarkable home called the Afton House in Virginia. And what they did, which I think is like a really missed opportunity for a lot of other folks, is they're definitely more like they're definitely on the luxury end, but they designed a home with like families in mind so that you still get the gorgeous like aesthetic. Like the bunk beds just look like, you know, they're like fresh out of like a West Elm, like Pottery Barn, like, you know, and then some, maybe even like restoration hardware, right? Sort of like level of like bunk bed. And it looks just beautiful. Like I would sleep in the bunk bed because it looks so freaking cool, right? But it's designed for people that want a beautiful, attractive aesthetic, but again, are also going to be with kids. So anyways, I think that that's a huge opportunity that you're leaning into, that you're hitting on here, is that there aren't enough, quite frankly, well-designed, fun, experiential stays that do accommodate families. There's loads of tree houses for like a couple's getaway, but yeah, like not nearly as many for folks who are traveling with kids.
Totally agree. Yeah. And you know, little things like, you know, I see a white couch, right? And I'm like, oh, this would be great, but gosh, my 2-year-old is going to destroy this couch and I'm going to be liable to have it fixed or cleaned. And you know, just the little things, even from an essential standpoint, like, do you have a high chair? Do you have a pack and play? If you have a 3-story log cabin house, is there some little gates that I can put in front of the stairs so that my 2-year-old doesn't sneak up there when I don't want him to? Just there's a lot of little things. You don't have to spend tens of thousands of dollars to make your home more family friendly. You can spend a couple hundred or $1,000 and get some nice amenities and essentials. And I think it makes a big difference.
Last minute cancellations suck. And that's why we built Ping. Ping makes it easy for guests to be notified when their favorite Airbnbs become available. Ping is a simple widget that lives on your website or your direct booking site and allows your fans and followers to sign up and be notified if their preferred dates become available. Here's how it works. Jimmy sees that you're booked the whole month of October, but he wants to be notified if any 3-night window in the month becomes available. Jen is a returning guest, and she wants to be notified if any week in June, July, or August becomes available. In a matter of seconds, Jimmy and Jen fill out the simple form, and they will be pinged if the requested dates become available. And as a host, you will immediately get pinged via email with Jimmy and Jen's contact information and requested dates, which enables you to build up your own database of guest email addresses. Ping is what the best Airbnb hosts use to maximize bookings. You can get access to our beta pricing with plans that start at just $39 a year at bnbping.com. Again, that's bnbping.com. So I want to hear a little bit more about STR Cribs and how you guys actually work with, you know, hosts and or investors. So like, let's say I bought a couple homes, right, in Gatlinburg, or we'll just stick with Gatlinburg, and they need to be renovated. They need to be quote unquote Airbnb ready. Like when you guys say that you get all these homes ready to list, like what does that actually look like? Like what, I'd call you up and I'd say, yo, Mark, I want to renovate the kitchen, but I don't want to renovate the bathroom. I want like a mural and I want, you know, a hot tub and maybe like a pickleball court or whatever, and then you guys just like do it? Or like how do your engagements with folks actually look?
Yeah, it's a great question. We basically, that's it. Hit me up. We like to get started early and often. And so most of the time investors come to us during when they're under contract and around their inspection period. And so what we'll do is we'll do a comprehensive review of your inspection report with you. We'll put together an itemized list of what needs to be done on the home in order to take it from where it is today to where you envision it being when it's ready for the first guest. And then when you give us the thumbs up and green light, we get started. We have our renovations team handle all the renovations. We have our design team handle all the designs and furnishing. We always have a project manager that manages the whole home for you. And then when we're done, our projects have been professionally cleaned and have had professional photos taken. And so there's nothing else to be done. You hire Cribs, and when we're done, we're handing you the keys and the photos and saying, good luck, ready for your first guest. And so it's obviously not that simple. There's a lot more, you know, layers to it, but from a high level, that's what we do. Get us started early. When we're done, you're ready for that first guest. You've had photos and the property's been cleaned.
Wow. So, I mean, it sounds amazing. And, you know, and it sounds like, especially for folks who are buying something with the intention of quickly turning it around into a short-term rental, and you know, they want it to perform better than it has previously, especially if it's like a cabin that was previously used as a vacation rental. I mean, this one-stop shop sort of like model is brilliant. I do want to hear a little bit more about like, what are things people have tried that haven't worked? Like maybe you guys got direction from a investor of like, hey, we want to do this kind of like, you know, crazy themed thing here. And you do it because that's what the, you know, your customer wants. But in actuality, you're like, it didn't work. Like it didn't make sense. Can you give us like some examples of where things could go too far and or where things just haven't performed, you know, in the way that either of y'all had hoped?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think of some real world examples. I would say to start with, doing something half-assed never seems to do well. Like you have one or two bedrooms that are heavily themed and you spend all of your budget in a few small spaces. And then the rest of the house is just an IKEA bed frame and a bed in it. After someone gets through picture number three or four on your listing, you're kind of shot because you've gone too far one way and then you've spent most of your budget. And so I would say staying consistent is really key. Knowing your market is obviously really, really important. And if you have a Barbie themed house in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, it's probably not going to work out for you. And so you've got to be really strategic in the guests that are coming to town. You know, I saw a designer that we worked with had just done a Taylor Swift themed home in Nashville. And it's already booked up like nonstop for the next couple months. And it's going to be an absolute killer of a property because Nashville is country music town, party town, a lot of bachelorette parties. And of course, a Taylor Swift themed house is going to do really well, right? Yeah. Would that Taylor Swift house do as well in Huntsville, Alabama? No. But would a NASA themed property in Huntsville, Alabama do really well? Sure. I'm probably going to buy a property there and do one myself because that's been on my radar to do one in Huntsville. So it's just like really being strategic about what you do in the market and not setting up a home that doesn't make sense in the market, right?
Yeah. One of the things that I think is really interesting about this model is there, again, as I mentioned, a lot of folks who are building really unique kind of one-of-a-kind stays. And a lot of the time these builds in these stays are, they're really expensive and they're beautiful and they're super cool. And don't get me wrong, like I love a good unique stay as much as anybody else. But if you're just getting started and you really want to lean into something that's different, but you're like, well, if this doesn't go well, or if, you know, if Airbnb locks my account or there's, or if I just decide I hate hosting or whatever it might be, it's kind of hard, quite frankly, to like sell a treehouse or like sell like a very bespoke A-frame in the middle of nowhere that was built specifically to be, you know, an Airbnb. Yep. Whereas the house in Huntsville, Alabama that you might make into a NASA themed house, if everything goes to crap, right, and you just decide this doesn't make sense, you can, assuming it's like a single family home, you could just sell it, right? Like, yeah. and you could rip all the NASA themed out, paint the walls again, and then rent it as a, you know, long-term rental. Like there's a lot more optionality. And so one of the things that I think is a good thought for folks who are listening to this podcast is, especially if you're just starting out, like, hey, maybe start with a themed home in a popular, like, you know, market where you know that, all right, does this scratch the itch enough for me? Is this enough of like a creative, you know, exercise to be able to transform a single family home into sort of this fun, cool themed experience? And if not, you know, or I should say, and if it is, maybe you save yourself a lot of time and headache and money trying to build the treehouse. And if it's not, right, if it doesn't scratch that itch, at least you have a short-term rental that's performing well. And then you can go and you can build the treehouse with everything that you've learned from this, you know, safer, if you will, sort of option.
Yeah, I would definitely not start with really heavily themed homes. I would start with very nicely designed homes that attract a larger group of people. And I still think, even without going to a really heavily themed home, even if you have a very nicely just designed home and furnished home, you're going to be leaps and bounds above everyone else in your market. And so, yeah, on your first one or two or five, while you're still learning the industry and the nuance of it and figuring out, you know, what you didn't know, I wouldn't open up a Frozen Disney themed house in Orlando. Like, that's for the experienced folks that have the gumption to really go after it. And they know, you know, they've learned. I would just start with a very nicely designed and furnished property that is going to attract families or larger groups. And stick with that, and then start to learn a little bit about the industry and go from there.
Yeah, yeah, well said. Mark, one of the things that we connected with each other on LinkedIn the other day was about like AI, right? And obviously AI is something that I've been personally just fascinated by as it makes its way into the commonsville, as I like to call it, right? Like, for non-technical people like myself, my usage of tools that are powered by AI, my usage of conversational tools and also just search tools in general that use AI is increasing, it seems like, every day. And I've been thinking a lot about how AI will affect, obviously, hospitality, right? And the space that we all work in. And I wrote a post the other day and you commented on it and you mentioned something along the lines of, yeah, you know, I think there'll definitely be some transition of jobs, right? I think this was about like middle managers. And my comment was like, I think middle managers in general, middle management roles will just kind of disappear over the next few years as folks get better at leveraging these agents to, if I've got a vision for something, rather than having to go through like, you know, my middle manager to then go tell like the specialist how to do it, I'll just you leverage my agents, right? To be able to get me a product that I can then ship directly to the specialist to be able to actually, you know, execute. That's where I think things are going. But you had a really cool insight about how you think, especially in the hospitality industry, people are going to crave like real authentic human communication and connection more than ever before. So like, what are your thoughts on how AI is going to continue to impact this space? And what are, I don't know, maybe some hot takes you have on how it might go a little bit differently than some of us think?
Yeah, it's a great question and a fascinating topic. I am not anti-AI whatsoever. I use it in my business every single day. And I have a great example. The last couple of weeks, I was working with an artist to put together some graphics for a presentation that I wanted to make. And I had spent, I'm probably, let's just say, 2 or 3 hours into this project of me sending notes to the artist. No, change this. I don't like this. This is not what I'm thinking. Da, da, da. And one night I was frustrated. I'm like, man, they're just not getting what I want. And I threw it into ChatGPT image generator. And within 3 minutes, it put out exactly what I wanted to put together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent 3 minutes when I had spent 3 hours on this prior working with a human. And so they're valuable, valuable tools that make most people much more efficient. And I agree. There's going to be a lot of those kind of jobs that we didn't really need to have, like middle management, that are going to go away and the robots are going to do it for us, for the lack of a better term. But what I see happening in the hospitality industry is, yes, AI is going to handle a lot of guest communication. It's going to help write blogs and guest guides and articles, and they're going to do a lot of stuff that's going to improve and streamline the process for property managers or people in the short-term rental space. What I also see happening is guests, we know, right? When you call AT&T and you have to deal with the AI phone voice lady that's press one for this, oh, repeat your name. Oh, your name, you know, it's like, we know it just as consumers who have had to deal with AI being utilized by another business, that when you walk into a restaurant and the lady come and you get a real waitress who comes and sits down and says, how are you guys doing? Da, 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 da. And she's from the area and she's friendly and she knows everything on the menu and she recommends the best drink to have. And you walk out of that experience going, I'm coming back to that place because I had a real human experience and I was well taken care of. Right.
Yeah.
And I just don't think when AI can do that, we won't even be having this conversation because the robots will have taken over. Right. But in the interim, it doesn't provide the same quality and service that real people who are skilled and knowledgeable and good at what they do can provide today. And so I think as some of these bigger businesses, the Vacasas and Evolve and some of these huge companies are going to start to really lean in and leverage AI in their day-to-day business to cut costs. I think that those of us in the industry who say, hey, I'm still a real person. You pick up the phone and you're going to get me on the other end of the line and I'm going to help you solve the problem that you're dealing with. I think those businesses are going to shine. And I think that people are going to seek out those kind of businesses because the investors are going to say, man, Vacasa lets AI do everything. Why am I paying them 20%? I want someone who lives down the road and is a real person to actually take care of my guests. And I think those people are going to shine in the industry. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of credence to what you're saying. And I mean, my hope is that like AI gets so good so that all the dumb questions that you like quite frankly, like when I have to, I had to call like an online banking service that I used the other day. And oh my gosh, it was such a pain. And I am thinking like, if I could use a chat interface on their website that actually worked, not like the chatbot where it's like, hey, pick one of these three things, and then you click it, and then it says pick one of these four things, and then you click it, and it's like, you know, those things are horrible, like they're god awful. It's like you just rip them away from your site. They never work. And then you type in your own question, and then it says here are six articles that we've written that could help you solve this problem. No, all of that needs to go away. What needs to happen is ChatGPT and or a version of it needs to be available on every single website so that I can say, hey, here's my specific problem. What do I need to do? For all of those sorts of questions, right? There are so many people in the industry that are tired of saying, hey, the Wi-Fi password is in the guest book, right? Or like the way that you access the hot tub, it's in the guest book, right? Shit, like crap like that, I should say. Like, you know, if these tools progress, that I would argue creates a better experience for the guest, right? If the guest can get a comprehensive answer immediately and quickly, and also in the tone and style that you like to operate in, right? Maybe you have a very high-end luxurious place and you don't use certain words, right? And you address everyone as sir or madam because that's the brand that you're building. These chat, you know, interfaces will be able to do all of that, and they'll be able to emulate and simulate the brand voice that you've developed, right? Now, to your point though, right? 80% of questions, 80% of issues fall into that category. The other 20%, right? You sure as heck better believe I want a person. And so my hope is that as this progresses, we get so smart so that the actual people on the other end of the line, they have 80% less work because all the dumb stuff that they're being asked is totally taken care of by a very comprehensive, you know, agent. And then they can pick up the phone because they've got the time for the 20%, right? And the AI will be so smart that the 20%, they'll be able to identify that, you know, immediately. Like they'll be able to say, oh, Mark's question, right, warrants an actual human representative right now. And in real time, after one ring or whatever it is, I'm going to be connected to Mark. Because they've decided that my question warrants like a proper expert, right? Whereas 80% of the folks that call, they don't need a proper expert. They really, really, really don't. So I think you're spot on. And I think the hospitality businesses that will win over the next few years are the businesses that figure out how to strike that balance. And that's really difficult. And it's going to be a lot of upfront work.
Yep.
But the ones that do figure that out, those are the ones that are going to win.
Absolutely. You're right. It's going to make the people that do things really, really well so much better because they can focus on that 20% of problems that they really need to focus on. And they're not going to get bogged down in the busy work. The fear that I have is that there's going to be a lot of businesses that don't strike that balance, right?
Yeah,
they let AI do everything. They are only thinking about the bottom line, and the quality of their guest experience is going to get significantly worse. And so, yeah, we'll see. I think you're absolutely right. The people that do things really, really well are going to utilize this tool, and they're going to be even better. And the people who are already not doing a great job are going to try to use the tool, and they're just still not going to do a great job.
Yeah, they're gonna apply like the same principles that got them into the space that they're in right now, which is, you know, an average of 3.9 stars or whatever it is for these like national management companies. They're gonna take the same approach of trying to very quickly solve the problem and realize like, oh crap, that doesn't work either, because now all of our responses are even worse than our real people who were responding to these people. Everyone's even madder.
Yep.
But I do think it what it does is it allows really good operators and really good entrepreneurs the resources to be able to, you know, punch at a much higher level than they might have been able to otherwise.
Yeah, you're not going to be talking to a VA in the Philippines anymore who has broken English. Yeah. You're going to be talking to a robot that doesn't quite know what's going on and is just going to be off just a little bit, right? And neither one of those is a great solution. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see the industry changing. As a host myself, I can totally agree, right? I've answered that question of what's the Wi-Fi password? Hey, you know, where's the nearest restaurant? And there's some really cool tools out there already that are doing a great job of integrating AI to solve those problems and really streamlining your process as a short-term rental owner. And so, yeah, super excited to see it kind of take over. I hope that, like you said, we strike a fair balance of its usage and when it's being used and when it's not being used with still that kind of human interaction to make sure that it's not just, you know, it's not the grocery store experience that we have where, you know, you go, you get all your products, you come up, you do the self-checkout. Well, that didn't work. That's why Walmart's closing down all the self-checkout lanes and why they have locks on the men's underwear. Like, you can't even go buy men's underwear without having to have a person come unlock it for you. And so I think a lot of industries have tried with a lot of self-service options and AI and technology and have gone too far. And those folks who still kind of keep that real, genuine, consumer front-facing human being are doing really well, and they offer a unique proposition just in today's world that we live in.
Yeah, dude, it'll be exciting. No matter what happens, it's going to be a very, very interesting ride. Mark, this has been super helpful. I really appreciate your time. My last question for you is just around, like, for folks that want to work with like STR groups, like, do you guys work everywhere? Are there specific markets that you work in? Like, if someone's listening to this conversation today and they just bought a couple homes and or they're thinking about buying a couple homes, but they don't want to do the work of renovating them and getting them, like, you know, listing ready, what's the best way for them to get in touch? And do you guys work with anybody? Just give us sort of like your final pitch, if you will.
Yeah. Definitely reach out to me. You'll have my email, so I'm sure you'll drop it in the notes. That's the best way to communicate with me. I'll let you know if we're a good fit and give you some free unfettered advice of your project and your property. We work in the continental US, so we're not in your home state of Hawaii right now, which we'd love to break into that market. And when we do, definitely going to, you know, bug you for some advice. But Hawaii and Alaska right now are just kind of logistically tough for us. And so we're working in the continental US. Our ideal home size is a 3-bedroom up. And so if you've got a 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, small condo, 800 square feet, we're probably not a great fit for you just because of our scope of work and our fee structure. But if you've got a decent size home and you really want to go all out on making a short-term rental, we'd love to help you.
Amazing, man. Well, hey, Mark, I really appreciate your time. And for our listeners, yes, I'll have links to Mark's LinkedIn in the show notes below and also his email. So reach out if you are interested in learning more. And then go check out their work. Again, if you know the TechVestor people, they've done a lot of their projects, actually, like, I think well over like 100 homes of TechVestors. And so if you follow Taylor Jones or any of the TechVestor folks, you've probably seen one of the homes that Mark and his team have worked on. But Mark, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on, Zach. It was great to chat with you, man. I love to see how things change and what the future of the hospitality industry just looks like for all of us. And looking forward to helping anybody that comes through.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Behind the Stays. I'd love to know what you thought of the episode. Feel free to shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on X, formerly Twitter, at ZBoozy, that's Z-B-O-O-Z-E-E, or on LinkedIn at Zach Boozy Cruz. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you back again soon. If you've been a listener for a while, though, I'd greatly appreciate if you could subscribe and then leave us a rating and review of the show wherever you are currently streaming this podcast. Last but certainly not least, Spontaneous and Behind the Stays are totally bootstrapped, and my ability to bring you these stories is only possible because of our incredible advertising partners. We're very much a startup show, and while our growth rate is amazing, thanks to all you who keep tuning in and sharing our show with your friends and family, we haven't quote-unquote made it yet. So if you could do me a huge favor and go and check out the sponsor for today's episode in the show notes below, I would greatly appreciate it. Even if their offering doesn't make sense for you right now, sending them a quick message on social or an email, just saying that you're listening to the show and you appreciate their support would be incredibly amazing. All right, friends, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you on the next episode of Behind the Stays.